been caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I loved the old music. I really like the new music for the sheriff. I'm glad he asked
I do
for
too.
It. Yeah, no, it's good. Okay. So Sheriff Simmons is out for the day, but we've got a good friend and the second in command, shared joint second command, right? You and Tommy are both equal, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Operations and I'm administration.
Okay, so Chief Deputy Andy Hobbs is in here with me. Somebody might call him Andrew, but only if they didn't know him all that well.
Whatever they want to call me.
Fair enough. Got a couple of crimes I want to talk about, and then we'll talk about some other stuff that I think is really interesting. One is in Cantonment. Seems like Cantonment was real active in the last week. Christopher Campbell breaking into three different homes.
Yeah, he had broken over into homes over a couple of month period. And what was interesting about that is he did not go far from home. He lives in that area. So he was, I'm sure, on these situations normally. When you hear a house has been broken into during the day, at night, whenever, normally they're going to be broken in during the day because people are at work. Mm-hmm. Normal taxpaying citizens are at work, and so that's when you usually get victimized with home burglaries.
Which is what a lot of people don't realize, that their home is more likely to be broken into during the day because they're not there, and crooks know that or pay attention. Right?
Correct. Most burglars do not want to be confronted by people, and so that's what they wait. And so... Normally, burglars are going to be in your neighborhoods. They're going to watch. They're going to find patterns. They're going to look for when they know you're not going to be there. They're going to know when the cars aren't there. And when they don't see that, then that's usually when they make their move. But yeah, this genius broke into multiple homes, and then he went to a local pawn shop and pawned some of the material. Well, we get everything. We have partnerships in the state law also with pawn shops that we get everything that's pawned. So our investigators...
Because of this habit.
Correct, yeah. Our investigators are always combing through that, always going to see if they can find it. That means tirelessly. And people are like, well, how do you catch these guys? That's one way. Mm-hmm. Or we're also watching Facebook Marketplace, those different places, because people steal things to sell those. That's what they're doing. They're not collectors. They're not antiquities. Right. They're trying to get it for drugs or whatever habit they have. So that's how we normally catch him. But yeah, he was able to pawn a couple of he stole guns, equipment, a bunch of different things. He did it three separate times over a couple months, and then the last one was in July, and we were able to finally track him down with some of the stuff he'd pawned.
All right. Well, did the people get their stuff back, or?
Yeah, that's a process they work through with the pawn shops.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also had in Cantonment on Candy Lane that you had, this is uninvited entry, some stolen items, and false imprisonment allegations.
Yeah, this young person here, Caleb Jernigan, was acting erratic, bouncing off the walls, just acting crazy in the neighborhood, makes entry into a residence that he was unwanted at, steals a weed eater while he's there, but is confronted by some neighbors, and when we get there, he's already in handcuffs sitting there waiting for us.
Who had handcuffs?
I'm guessing one of the neighbors just happened to have those. No questions asked.
Yeah, right.
You know, at that point, that
did
is
they
your,
have pink fur on them or anything?
You know, a good Samaritan is a good Samaritan, even if they're pink and furry. You know, so, yeah, they had already helped us out with that. He was cleared by EMS. They were trying to figure out if he was under drugs or just a mental issue or just acting it. Because in a lot of situations, you know, people, when they're going to be arrested, they want to act crazy. They want to act like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing. And that's something our deputies have to deal with. And EMS, who does an amazing job.
So people fake being crazy.
Yeah, because they want to get Baker acted instead. They want to use it as defense. Because if I'm not in my right mental state,
you can't be subject to the same criminal sanctions.
You can be.
Right.
Most people aren't good enough actors. you know, well, our deputies, the men and women of the sheriff's office, deal with people in crisis every single day. And we get very good at knowing who's really in there, because there's some telltale signs of people that are truly in a mental crisis and need help. And then there's others that are under the influence of drugs. Drugs and mental issues look different when you're really face-to-face with it. And just because you're high, or just because you think you're riding a magic dragon, doesn't mean you get to break into people's houses.
It's interesting that through experience, obviously, you start to know the difference between what you're dealing with, the same way a cashier knows the difference between real bills, fake bills, and which kind of fake bill. I mean, that's just from experience, from seeing it enough that you you know, you can tell the difference most of the time.
Yeah, and the copious amounts of training we do.
Yeah.
The professional development unit at the sheriff's office is constantly bringing in new training to deal with mental health issues, deal with narcotics. You know, our officers, or the deputy sheriffs of Escambia County, are some of the probably best trained, if not the best trained in the state of Florida. So they are professional, you know, just like Sheriff Simmons says, courtesy, integrity, professionalism. We can't have professionalism without a lot of training.
You know, it's just, you know, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man kind of stuff. When the neighbors wrap him up for you, yeah, and even handcuff him, have you waited, you know, pick him up. He's on the sidewalk. You know, EC Way wouldn't take him, so you guys can have him.
Well,
so,
you know, we pick it up when we can.
Andrew, one of the Andy, I don't know why I called you Andrew. Governor DeSantis has appointed one of your deputies, Chase Horn, to be the Florida Criminal Justice Standards and Training, to be on the Florida Criminal Justice and Standards and Training Commission. That's a pretty big deal.
Oh, absolutely. Sergeant Chase Horn is an absolute rock star for our agency. He has worked patrol. He worked at Pensacola Beach. He was elected by the men and women of the sheriff's office to be the president of the PBA for Northwest Florida, our bargaining unit, the union.
Police Benevolent Association.
And he does a fantastic job. But above and beyond all those things, he also does a lot of the special projects for us. So let's just say Smart Cop, which is our computer-aided dispatch. That's what does our dispatching, our reports, all those things. When we're looking at a new process or something like that, we'll give it to him. He works with the men and women on patrol and tries to work out all the bugs. He is dynamic.
So like the field beta testing to make sure that it's really going to be useful to the people who have to use it.
Yeah, and I tell everybody, his superpower is he will bring you a problem like, hey, we have A, B, and C, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. But he also gives you a resolution for each one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know as well as I do, people like that who can find, can tell you there's a problem, but also can help you find a resolution, they are worth their weight in gold. But I'm just glad that he's been recognized by the state for his character, his leadership, and honestly, his hard work. He is an absolute phenomenal deputy, phenomenal sergeant, and honestly, he is an asset to the sheriff's office every day.
You know, a couple of things have been in the news I wanted to ask you about. One is Milton has recently, their new police chief has added forward-looking infrared cameras. They're using drones, which is good. You guys have FLIR, and you have more than one drone, right?
Yeah, we are one of the first agencies in the state of Florida to be full operational on every shift. So I have a drone on every single shift our agency has. And people are like, wow, that sounds like a lot. It is a lot. But it's a necessity. We kind of use it kind of like the same as canines. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a canine on every shift. Well, now we have a drone on every shift, and that allows the men and women of the sheriff's office to do some very, very forward-thinking things. The difference, we talked earlier about helicopters. So the sheriff's office had a helicopter.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Okay.
Somebody said you ought to ask about the sheriff's department helicopter, and I figured expensive is probably why we don't have it anymore.
Expensive is an understatement. You get those surpluses. I believe the ones we had were 1979 Rangers.
Okay.
But the cost, first of all, to have someone operating it 24 hours a day, because we tried under other administrations, we tried to minimize it and have it as an on-call.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you wait till that long, the situation's already over.
The advantage of getting there fast in a helicopter loses its potency when you don't have somebody ready to get in it right away.
Correct. Plus a pilot and a co-pilot or the navigator or what we call them lookers, the guys who look around and do all the things the pilot doesn't do, they have to be proficient. They have to continue to train. So you really have to have a 24-hour operation. So you have to have pilots and other people. And then the maintenance on it. The maintenance on helicopters is crazy expensive because you have to stay on it. The safety of those two people, the safety of your community.
Right.
So years ago under Sheriff Morgan, when the budget cuts came years and years ago, that was one of the things that had to go because it was extremely expensive. It's a great asset. An airframe is a great asset to have if you can afford it. But drones give us
a little bit of the
same thing. The difference between a drone and a helicopter, I have to explain to these people. Sergeant Josh Hendershot, who's in charge of our drone unit, does an excellent job. But he and I go around and talk a lot about the drones. A helicopter can fly around all day long, look in your backyard, can do all those things without a warrant. For us to launch a drone and do a search, like we're looking for things, mm-hmm. not people, but things, we have to have a search warrant. So let's just say we have a bunch of burglaries in an area. Let's say Cantonment. Let's just say car burglaries, because car burglaries happen at
hard
night.
Hard to hide. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but car burglaries happen at night. Home burglaries usually happen during the day.
Okay.
Car burglaries happen at night.
Because they want you at home with your keys in the car or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. They want to hope that you got out of your car, talking on your cell phone or Facebook in or watching ads that seem to be
Sydney
very,
jeans,
my right, goodness, I've never seen that ad, but after listening to y'all speak about it, I'm going to have to Google it when I leave. But they... Life gets in the way. I talk about it all the time. Life gets in the way. You don't lock your car. Well, our drone operator, who's a full-time deputy also, but they've now got their pilot license, we can get a search warrant, launch it over your neighborhood, and let it sit over for a couple hours, switching out batteries, mm-hmm. and use our FLIR so that we can see what's going on at night. We can be a mile away, and we can see if car burglaries are occurring. Mm-hmm. But we have to get a search warrant to do that.
Okay.
With a helicopter, you can just fly around willy-nilly. You don't have to. It's just the different laws that apply for drones sure. compared to helicopters. But yeah, we have a very large drone program now. We do not use Chinese drones because the governor says you cannot. So I mm-hmm. always get this question. Well, DJIs aren't very expensive and they're easy to use. You're right, they are. But the governor says we can't use those. We can only use about 4 different companies that are American made, and they are not cheap. They do a great job, but they're not cheap. We use Skydio drones. And they do a great job for us, but again, they're not cheap. But if you have any questions, we do demos all the time. We'll walk you through it. We are very transparent with our drone program. We're very proud of it because it was a lot of work, but it was something that when you look forward, you need to keep our community safe. You need those ability to have an eye in the sky.
Who had it first? You guys or PPD?
PPD had one drone.
Okay. That was the IHMC collaboration. Yeah.
And then I believe that went away, and then we have now, under Sheriff Simmons, we are a full operational drone program. It also can feed back to our real-time crime center.
Right, I figured
so,
that'd be.
So, yeah, it's utilizing technology as a force multiplier and truly giving the citizens the level of security and professionalism they expect and deserve.
Why doesn't Escambia County have a sheriff's office offer the safe driver program, teen driver program, the way the Santa Rosa sheriff does?
Yeah, that's a great question. That was one of my questions a couple years ago that I got with Lieutenant Patrick Frazier. And I said, hey, let's find out why we're not doing it. There's a funding
because
source.
Because it's way over demand. I mean, classes always fill.
Correct.
People want to do it. People recognize the value. They want their kids to be safe. And who else better to teach them than the skilled drivers of the sheriff's office?
Some of them are skilled. Yeah, some of them are skilled. Yeah, have you seen? I hear y'all. I know.
Better
I know.
Than the average driver.
Oh, better than average. You think about how much we drive on a daily basis. And, you know, when I get complaints a lot, you know, your deputy did not use a blinker. He or she may not have used a blinker, but I assure you that he or she has a radio going on in their car,
yeah.
telling them about calls, a CAD, a computer in front of them they're having to look at. So sometimes we do miss a blinker or two, but we do work on it.
Well, if the fluid's low.
Yeah, I mean, you got to.
It's hard to replace, right? It's a scarcity, apparently.
Hey,
anyway,
well,
so go
the
ahead.
The bulbs burn out.
Why don't we have a safe driver
so
program?
So our school district does that here. Our school district has driver's ed, and there's a funding source from the state, and it goes through the school district. Well, there's not enough funding sources for the school district to do it and for us. It's extremely expensive for sheriff's offices to do it. Santa Rosa does an amazing job with it, but they don't have the same issues over there as we do here, where our school district, which is very large, the school mm-hmm, district does right. an amazing job. They're using the funding source for their
okay.
driver's ed. So it would be doubling up. Plus, on top of every other thing we do with our Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, our Dream Bigs, our movie nights, I mean, we are pretty tapped out at this point on our community outreach. We are going. We have probably events. Like, I had a person ask me the other day about an event, if we could come do their event. We have 5 events on Saturday alone.
Wow.
So the amount of things we're doing. But we did try. It was something Sheriff Simmons wanted us to look at. We looked at it all different ways. It's extremely expensive to do. Mm-hmm. The funding that Santa Rosa is getting from the state is really good, because to do it right, you have to have multiple instructors, you have to have the cars out there, you have to pay those deputies to be out there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and you know the program they do over there in Santa Rosa County is phenomenal.
And a good note is, I mean, we know Santa Rosa does not do driver's ed in the schools, and that's been kind of an issue, but there is at least the school district or the sheriff's office does their thing, so that makes sense that there's sort of it's one or the other in a given locale. And
that's how I was explained about why the funding source is what the funding source
right.
is.
Escambia County Sheriff's Chief Deputy Andrew Hobbs. Always good to talk to you, Andy. I don't know why I keep calling you Andy, because I'm reading my show prep. it's always good to have you, sir. Thanks for answering my questions, man. I appreciate it.
No, it's an honor to be here. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.